Hi, this is Dolores, and I'm at Sundance Film Festival. It's been held for the second year in London, and I've got the privilege to meet the wonderful director of the film, God Loves Uganda, Roger Ross Williams, also a Oscar-winning director. Hi, Roger.
Hi.
Tell me a little bit about yourself.
I'm a filmmaker. This is my first feature film, actually. I made a short called Music by Prudence, which won the Academy Award in 2010.
Wow.
Very exciting.
Quite recent then.
Yeah. It's the first African-American director to win an Academy Award. So that was very exciting. And now I'm here with God Loves Uganda.
Okay. So tell us where the idea from God Love Uganda comes from.
God Loves Uganda came about because, I've always been fascinated by religion and faith, because I grew up in the church singing in the gospel choir of my family church. My father's a minister, my sister's a minister. It's the family business, really.
Can I just clear something up? Was you born in Uganda or America?
I was born in America.
Okay.
Yes, yeah.
So what's the link with Uganda?
I just had read about what was going on in Uganda, and just curious about it, and I went there to do some research. I found out that Uganda is the number one destination for American missionaries, and that a lot of what's behind a lot of legislation, like the anti-homosexuality bill, was being pushed by American fundamentalist evangelicals.
Okay, so sorry, I interrupted you. We'll just jump back again. So your father was a pastor.
Yes.
And your sister.
Yes.
Is a pastor.
Yes.
Okay, so how do they feel about you and your sexuality?
They're not accepting of my sexuality. It's a very conservative church. So I grew up, feeling ashamed of my sexuality. Because they told me that it was a sin and I was a sinner, and they still believe that. Well, my father has passed away, but my sister still believes that.
So did you hide your sexuality for a long time?
I did. I hid my sexuality through my whole childhood, growing up. Yeah.
Oh, so when did you actually come out? Oh, till college.
Until college, yeah. When I got to New York City, then I was like, okay, now I'm free.
Free to be me.
Yeah.
Okay, so you went off to, you decided, because obviously your lifestyle, you're being brought up and not being able to express yourself.
Yeah.
And you'd heard little rumours, so you go off to Uganda. And now tell me about this pastor who outed you while you were there.
Well, someone had written to one of the missionaries I was following, has a blog, and someone had wrote to that missionary who has the blog and said and told her that I'm gay, and she had sent that around to all of the anti-gay pastors in Uganda. One of which, who's a very powerful, very scary pastor, who had held the Bible in his hand and said, "This book says that these people must be killed. This is what it says in this book." He held the Bible up and said, "This book says we must kill them." Now, I don't know where it says that in the Bible, but he uses that. And he said, "We're going to take care of this guy, Roger. We're going to take care of him if we have to do it ourselves."
He was actually saying he was going to kill you?
Yeah.
How did you feel?
Nervous, of course.
Because you're a tough guy. You don't look like, you look like you could.
Yeah, I had security. I didn't really worry about it. A lot of it's just talk, but there are plenty of activists in Uganda who live their lives every day in fear, and my hat goes off to them, and they live there. I'm just in and out,
Do they live there openly gay?
Yeah, they're activists who live there openly gay, who are harassed every day.
I do remember the press, actually, because there was a storm in England when they actually put the faces of one of the activists, David, who was in your film.
Yeah, and Bishop Christopher Sinyanjo. Bishop Christopher Sinyanjo was the head of the Western region of the Church of Uganda, the Anglican Church, the largest church in Uganda. And he ran the Western region. He's retired, and he started counseling LGBT youth, and who felt they had no place, who were rejected from their churches. And he said, God loves everyone. God loves you. You are. Do not feel that you are not. that you do not have a place in God's kingdom. And because he did that, the Church of Uganda, the Anglican Church, excommunicated him, took away his pension, and he was living in poverty. He has 10 kids. He has, you know, a big family to support, and it was very sad. But he refused to back down. He refused to let the Church of Uganda tell him that gay people don't have a place in the church. And to this day,
There was also another. Something that really struck me in your film was at the funeral of David. I can't remember his surname.
David Kato.
Yeah, David Kato. It was a really distressing scene, and actually it stayed in my mind for a long time. There was a young boy at the funeral, and after the official pastor had done a message for David and then still said, you know, gave an anti-gay message, this young boy was at the graveside crying and screaming, saying, "They're going to kill us, they're going to hurt us."
Yeah, yes, that's Victor. That's Victor. Victor's an activist, very brave activist. Victor sued the government of Uganda for raiding his home and won, actually, for invasion of privacy. Victor is, you know, what happened at that funeral is that the pastor who was overseeing that funeral started, you know, spewing anti-gay rhetoric, and it riot erupted, and actually the people of the village who were siding with the pastor started collecting stones. They said, "We're going to stone the gay people." And luckily the embassies, American embassy, the Dutch embassy, the British, the officials from the embassy were all there with carts, and they actually rushed people in the carts, but they refused to carry David's casket to the gravesite. So the LGBT activists grabbed the casket and carried it down, and Bishop Christopher said, "You know what? I'm going to jump in here and I'm going to give him a proper burial." That was very dramatic.
It was very dramatic and very touching, actually. Yeah. Is Victor all right?
Victor's, do you know? Victor's getting asylum in the US. He's living in the United States now and applying for asylum. And we're on a panel in a couple weeks in New York. Yeah, but he's good.
Oh, good. I'm so pleased. Could you pass my best wishes on to him?
Yeah.
Now, what do you hope this film will say to people, and do you think it can influence matters in Africa?
Yes, I think it can influence matters in Africa, and what I hope this film does is I hope that every person of faith goes to their pastor and church and says, and make sure that the money they're putting in the collection plate doesn't end up fueling intolerance and hate, that they hold their churches accountable and say, "I want to make sure our money is going to do good things in Africa, to feed orphans and not going to fund intolerance and hatred." Because a lot of people don't know that a lot of the money goes to fund these pastors you see in the film.
We didn't actually mention the name of the church, but I'd like to. Could you tell me the whole name of the church? It's the...
Which one?
We've got the churches that were actually in the film.
There's the Ugandan... pastors.
Oh, so there weren't just one church? You're talking...
Tons of... almost every church in Uganda, a lot of churches in Uganda preach an anti-gay message. There's a few pastors who consider themselves anti-gay activists who've made their Christian message to fight the evil of homosexuality. And that is Martin Sempa in the film, who is well known, who throws huge rallies.
Doesn't he live in America part of the time?
Yes, he lives in America. He's married to a white American missionary and lives in America part of the time. Spends a lot of time in America, actually.
Yeah, I hear. Was it Las Vegas?
Yeah.
And the other man, one of the fifth richest...
That's Robert Kayanja. He's the fifth richest man in Uganda. Lives in a palace, drives around and flies around in private jets.
Yeah, he has an empty home, and the poor sit outside. He could fill it with the poor, couldn't he?
And he lives
feed
in
them?
Dallas. You know, they all have such deep connections to America, and what a lot of American evangelicals, fundamentalists, not all evangelicals, we're talking about the extremists, believe. They believe they've lost the culture war in America because of things like gay marriage is getting passed in state after state after state. And so they feel they've lost that war, but they feel they're winning that war in Africa because they go there, they have power and influence because they represent money and power and everything America represents. So the imperialism, the colonialism, it's a new round of colonialism. And they've set this up from, you know, Uganda has been chosen because Uganda had this vacuum after the fall of Idi Amin. There was this vacuum and the country needed to be rebuilt, and it was spiritually bankrupt. So they moved in there and they said, let's create the ultimate, like, fundamentalist country, and they've succeeded.
It seems to me a little bit as if, you know, who is the man that's on trial now in America for...
Reverend Scott Lively. Scott Lively.
I wonder where the Reverend came from, the title, though.
He's a pastor, a doctor of theology. He wrote a book called The Pink Swastika about how the Nazi movement was really a gay movement. He considers himself an anti-gay activist, and he goes around the world to developing countries around the world to convince them to fight the evil of homosexuality. He says the ultimate goal of homosexuals is to destroy the human race.
It's truly unbelievable.
Yeah, and he's being sued for crimes against humanity in federal court in America.
Oh, who's suing him?
The activists in Uganda. The ones that you saw in the funeral, because he actually is the real force behind the anti-homosexuality bill. He went to Uganda and he said, you guys, he did a 3-day conference, he addressed parliament, and he said, you guys need to create legislation to stop this evil from coming into your country. And they came up with the bill, and he helped them come up with that bill. So he's being sued for,
Is the bill up and running now?
The bill is before Parliament. It has not passed. It has not gone to the floor yet. Last I checked, it was number 3 on the list of bills to go to the floor. If it gets to the floor, it'll pass. You know, I don't know if it will actually, you know, if it will pass because it's extremely popular, you know. Museveni may veto the bill because he's under a lot of pressure from Western governments not to pass this bill, and he gets a lot of aid, and it's a very corrupt country, so a lot of that, so aid is important.
So without the help of these right-wing fanatical religions there, do you think that the sub-Saharan Africa could rub along quite nicely with their, you know, gay brothers and sisters?
Absolutely, absolutely. If American evangelicals weren't interfering in Africa, you know, there've been gay people in Africa for as long as there've been people, and they've been accepted. There was a gay king in Uganda, a famous gay king at the turn of the century that was openly gay. There were, before Scott Lively came there, there were gay bars, yes, absolutely.
What can people do? Stop giving money, to find out where your money's going.
Find out where your money's going, and we want to screen this at hundreds of churches around the world. So go to our website, godlovesuganda.com. You can fill out a form to have this film screened at your church and bring it to your church so we can raise awareness about what's going on in Uganda.
It's been an absolute honour talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And keep safe when you go to Africa, won't you?
I will. Thank you.